as you were being seated, if you would find in your copy of God's Word, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You know, as I was studying this passage, I could not help but think about the Vernon Parish Fair. Every October, if you've lived here for any amount of time, you know every October, the fair comes around. The sights, the smells, the sounds, the hype, the excitement, it gets all of us, doesn't it? And as we walk around, we observe and we partake. But if you're anything like me, the only thing the fair leaves you with is empty calories and an empty wallet. You know, it may be a good time, but it does not last long. Here for a few days and then gone. And the world is a lot like the fair. If you will read with me from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle John writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." John has been writing in chapter 2, and what his message has basically been at the beginning is, if you abandon love, you will abandon Christ. You take away love and you take away Christianity. But in these few verses, he is telling us, if you abandon Christ, you will abandon love. No Jesus, no love. And that is what I want you to understand this morning. Abandoning Christ will lead to an abandonment of love. Number one this morning, we receive a command in the first verse, do not love the world. Do not love the world. So do not love the way that leads to death. There is a way that leads to life, but there is also a way that leads to death. Do not love that way. And here's why. He gives a command, and for all of us who want to know, well, why? Why not? The command is don't love the world. The reason why is if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You do not love God if you love the world. Isn't that reason enough then not to love the world? Well, what is the world? I'm so thankful he tells us. He tells us in verse 16, for all that is in the world, here it is, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. Your Bible may say the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, to sum it up this way, the first thing in the world that you must be on guard about is pleasures. It's the desires of the flesh. Pleasures, passions. You may find a laundry list in the Bible of the things that appeal to the flesh. Certainly, Galatians chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 is some of those things that will appeal to the flesh. I will just read some of them. These things are the works of the flesh, and they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, jealousy, fits of anger. It's not just sexual sin that John is talking about. It's anything that appeals to the desires of the flesh. You want to win an argument, and so you have an outburst of anger to get your way to win that argument. That's a desire of the flesh, is to be right. Anything that gratifies your own personal desires are things we must be on guard for. Desires of the flesh. The Apostle Paul says, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, that is, give in to the desires of the flesh, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It may feel good for a moment, but it leaves you empty. It is not satisfying in the long run. Of course, this applies to 2023 and the epidemic that is pornography, right? And we've got to be on guard for things that appeal to the flesh. Fight against those things. But if I can just take a moment this morning to speak to our graduates. Going off to the university, going off to the workplace, I want to read the Apostle Paul's advice to his own child in the faith, Timothy. Graduates, listen to this. Because John comes from a fatherly approach. Here's another father in the faith to a young man named Timothy. Very clearly, Paul says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Young people going off into the world, leaving home. The world's going to throw everything it has at you. And you take the advice from your godly parents. And you take the advice of your godly ministers, those who have poured their lives into you the last 10 years. And you flee from those youthful passions. You do not give in to those things. There's going to be some lonely Friday nights. But it is worth it. Don't waste these years on youthful passions, on youthful pleasures. You live for a higher calling. Don't pursue those things. You pursue Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Christ will be near to you. God will see you through. Do not flee to the world. Flee and run to Christ. Here's the promise. God will use you mightily in these next 4 years. If you will flee from being a vessel of dishonorable use and you put on Christ Jesus, He will use you to bring glory to His name. Flee from youthful passions. The second thing of the world that you must be on guard for is the desires of the eyes. This is a little different than the flesh. It's still gratification for yourself, but here's what this is. It's a desire for possessions. I want more, I want more, I want more. What the eye sees, then the flesh wants. It's materialism. This is why John ends his letter with little children. Little children. Flee from idols. Keep yourself. Abstain from idols, because the things that we see turn into the things that we want. And none of us are immune to this. Jesus tells us in Mark 4:19, "But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." If you drive to have more and more and more, the cares of the world will choke out the word of God. You will not love materialistic things and love God at the same time. And we live in a culture that preaches and just promotes to get more and more and more stuff. And the trick of it all, the reason it's so deceptive, is because you will never get enough. No satisfaction in stuff. You will always want more. And you cannot love God and love stuff at the same time. It's not just possessions either. You know, the Latin church father, Augustine of Hippo, interprets this phrase as the word that we get curiosity from. Now, curiosity in itself is not a bad thing. Just like desire in itself is not a bad thing. It's the object that makes it sinful. It's an overindulgence that makes it the sin. And what he is saying here, whenever he interprets this as curiosity, it's a disordered intellectual appetite for knowledge. I want to know more. I must know more. Tell me why. It is really a nosiness that Augustine interprets this as. You know, in the last several weeks, even months, we've been talking a lot about Psalm 46:10 and the need for each and every soul in this room to be still before God and know that He is God. And this kind of curiosity kills the stillness that we need before the Lord our God. How many of you have entered into a time of prayer, but all of a sudden a thought comes into the mind, you reach into your pocket, you pull out the phone, and endless scrolling begins to take place? Because of one intrusive thought, one curious thought interrupts your stillness before the Lord, and before you know, you have wasted minutes, even hours, scrolling and reading and collecting useless information. Augustine said, "The great business of prayer is broken off through the inrush of every sort of idle thought." Take those thoughts captive. You want to possess something? Possess a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know Him and then know Him more. The desires of the eyes. And then finally, the third thing you must be aware of, the things of the world, be aware of popularity. Popularity, it's not all it's propped it up to be. The pride of life. This, in other words, you desire prestige. You desire power. You desire vain glory. It is a living for self. And the reason that is vain is because there is something much larger than yourself to live for, primarily the glory of God. You do not have to be the center of attention. You do not have to be the most popular person in the room. You don't have to be the best dressed, the best looking. You don't have to do any of those things. That is deception, and it's a lie from Satan. Here's the danger. The danger of living for popularity, Jesus says in John chapter 5, verses 42 through 44, Jesus says, "But I know that you do not have the love of God within you." You see, if you love the world, you don't have the love of God within you. Here's what Jesus says, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another one comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" If you are so busy seeking the glory from your peers, you will not have the love of God in your heart. Caring and being concerned with how others think of you is a trap, and you need to be aware. Don't seek prominence. Seek Christ. These things, the things of the world, are so dangerous. You see, the devil is a cruel, cruel devil. And John warns us in the verses that follow not to be deceived. Satan would have you deceived that the things of the world are the things worth living for. Live, the devil says, for pleasure. Live for possessions. Get more and more and more. And why? Because then everyone will think you are so awesome. Look at the house they live in. Look at the car they drive. Look at the money spilling out of their bank accounts. And you begin to become prideful. And all the while, you are being deceived by the devil. I have three daughters. And already, three young daughters, I am praying for at least three godly men to be left by the time it's time for them to get married. All I'm asking the Lord for is three godly men, three men who will love Jesus and love them. You think I give a rip about what kind of car they drive? You think I will care about how much money they have? Here's what I'm more concerned about. If they love the things of the world, they will desert my daughters. I want them to love Jesus. And I want you men in here to love Jesus. Because if you will love Jesus, you will love your family. Demas who was a minister partner with Paul, doing gospel work for the most important man maybe on the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ, departed the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he loved the present world. This poor soul was deceived by Satan and departed and deserted the Apostle Paul. And he, the man who loves the world, will desert others. It's a fact. You will not love God and you will not love people if you love yourself and the things of the world. It's just like the Vernon Parish Fair. Oh, but it's fun, isn't it? We're not living for cheap tricks and cheap thrills in this life. We're living for Christ Jesus. Many of you in this room right now are on a perpetual fair ride, looking and seeking what's next in this life, what's going to grab your attention next. And if you don't stop, if you don't get off of this ride, it's going to leave you empty on this earth, and it's going to leave you an eternity apart from Christ. Get off! It's not worth it. Don't be deceived. Do not be tricked. And how do you get off? You've got to see something more beautiful than the things this world has to offer. You've got to have a greater object to love than the world. What I'm saying, and it's impossible for me, I've been praying all week that the Spirit of God would open eyes in this room this morning, because it's impossible for me to do this for you, but one true glance at Jesus will cure the disease of the love of the world. You've got to see Jesus, and I'm helpless in this matter. I can stand before you with the Word of God, but it will be the Spirit who falls on this place to help you see Jesus as better than the things that this world has to offer. One real taste of Jesus, and you will lose the cravings for corn dogs because you have tasted filet mignon. One real look at Jesus, and you won't care about the rock wall at the fair anymore, because your eyes have gazed upon the Rocky Mountains. Something that's lasting, something with substance, something that matters. John is not just the apostle of love. John tells us who to love, how to love, what to love, even what not to love. But John, more than anything, is a shepherd. He's an overseer. He is a pastor of people. And any real pastor, his main objective is to get people to love Jesus. Pastors may disagree. My goodness, you can look on social media today. We're disagreeing about everything. But any pastor worth listening to will tell you this one thing: love Jesus Christ. You've got to love Jesus. And this is John's message. Number two this morning: you love God and live. Love God and live. John will go on to say in the next few verses, it's already the last hour. Verse 17, the world is passing away. John says, it's already the last hour. While you're so distracted and being deceived with pinball machines and the trinkets of the world, they're already packing up and getting ready to move the equipment to another town. It's the last hour. Love God instead. How do you do that? Number one, remember God's great love for you. I'm talking about the person in your seat. God loves you. If I could look every one of you in your eyes, I would tell you without a shadow of a doubt, God loves you. God loves you. And you've got to remember God's great love. Why does anyone love God? 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. The verse that everyone in this church probably is able to memorize is a simple verse, and it tells you how great God's love is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He gave his Son, Jesus Christ. Why would he do that? Because he loves you. That's number one. because God loves you. But number two, he gave his son, and this was the will of his, the will of God. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus gave himself for our sins. Why? To deliver us from this present evil age. Age, that's synonym with world. That means the time and place in which we live. Jesus gave himself to deliver us, to rescue us from this world. And it was God's love. It was God who sent Jesus. This was his will. Number one, if you are loving the world but desiring to get off, remember God's great love for you. Number two, let me ask you to ask yourself, has there ever been a time that you loved Jesus more than you do at this very moment? Search your heart and consider, do I love Jesus as much right now or more than I ever have at any point in my life? Is there a point in my past where I loved Jesus more then than I do now? It's a dangerous place to be. Number two, you need to return to Christ. John writes in Revelation 2:4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Listen, there's a lot of good things, but there's only one great thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Love him first. Seek him first. Come back to him. If you want to see Jesus as greater than the world, you need to pour over the scriptures. You need to spend time in prayer. These are the means of grace which God has given us to be able to see Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 says that the apostle John saw him with his eyes. They looked upon him whenever he was on earth. John says, we have seen the eternal life, the word of life. It was made manifest to us. John had gazed upon Jesus. John had thought about Jesus. Even though we can't see Jesus today, with eyes of faith, if you will go to the Lord, you will gaze upon the beauty of Christ. John saw it. John heard it. John touched it. And you know what happened? John's joy was being completed. There is joy in Jesus. There is unspeakable joy in Jesus. And thirdly, love God and live, you need to remain in Christ. Remain in Christ. If you are walking with the Lord Jesus, if you love him today more than you did yesterday, praise God. Remain there. Remain in Jesus. This is a fight. This is a battle. If anyone in here today can raise their hand and say, I have no problems and no temptation when it comes to pleasure. I have conquered the temptation of possession. I do not even get tempted with the pride of prestige and power that comes in life. That's why John says, if you say you are without sin, you make him to be a liar and the word of God is not in you. Who in here can say they've overcome those temptations? It is a daily battle. That's why you have to remain in Jesus. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Your only hope to escaping the things of the world is to see Christ Jesus. And when you see Christ as beautiful, when you see Christ Jesus as your greatest treasure, you will live. We need to look at Jesus. We need to see Jesus. And the world needs to see Jesus. Why aren't people seeing Jesus? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They're being deceived. They're being blinded by the God of this world. And apart from a miraculous work of grace in their lives, they will only see the world as beautiful while never truly treasuring Jesus. But if you, church, those who have been born again, saved by grace, through faith, will remain in Christ, you will know the love of God. 1 John 5:3-4 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is the living." Don't tell me you believe in Jesus, but you don't love Jesus. Believing in Jesus always leads to loving Jesus. Believing God's word that he sent his only begotten son to be punished, to be bruised, to be crushed for your sins and my sins always leads to true love for Christ. Believing leads to loving. And when you love Jesus, you will obey his commandments. Primarily to love God and to love people. If you will look to Jesus and see him, truly see him, you will not be able to help but love him. Church, here it is. You will either, this morning, make a very real choice to abide in Christ, or you will abandon Christ. There's really no in between. You can't say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I love the things of the world." John doesn't give us that opportunity. John doesn't give us that option. John is calling us to a real, meaningful, deep, true love for God. If you abandon Christ, you will abandon love. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head as the musicians come forward and we move into a time of response. The altar is open. But more than that, right where you are seated, I'm asking you to search your own heart. Have the devices and the devil's deceptions snuck in and gotten a hold of your heart, pulling you away from the love of Christ? Don't forget John's promise. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of unrighteousness. He forgives you of all sins, whether it's pleasures, passions, possessions, or pride. Jesus Christ and his blood will wipe it all away, and you will have a brand new start with God. Oh, church, that we would be a people who loves the Lord God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and all our strength. God, our Father, we are praying for you to move in this place this morning. Lord, I just have a feeling that there's someone here who has heard the facts of the gospel, who has heard John 3:16 since the time they were 3 years old. But God, they have never seen Jesus as beautiful. They've never seen Jesus as their greatest treasure. They've never seen Jesus worthy of laying down their own lives and surrendering to you. Oh, God, that our joy would be completed this morning, that they would see you and know you and hear you. Lord, move in this place and speak to hearts this morning. Lord, I'm inviting people, men, women, boys, and girls, to step out of death, to step off of the thrill rides, and into a meaningful, lasting, satisfying relationship with the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As our pastors move forward,